I have a pretty relaxed, friendly perspective on death. Of course, I don't know what happens. Nobody does. But maybe when we die, we all just go out like candles. The originator of The Simpsons, Matt Groening, put it this way. Today is the first day of the rest of your short, brutish existence as a sentient creature before being snuffed out into utter nothingness for all eternity. My favorite fantasy of a potentially delightful spiritual immortality is getting to spend my forevers in multiple parallel universes, kind of like the movie Groundhog Day, but with every imaginable version of myself pursuing for eternity all the many forks in the road and paths and passions that I didn't choose the other times around. I think a good God might arrange that kind of infinite growth opportunity. But sometimes the idea of death as possibly being the end of everything, mortality as finality, that can feel like a tough gig, especially sudden reminders of mortality. They can be gut-wrenching. I felt sad all day after running over a tiny squirrel on the way to church a few weeks ago, watching him flop around behind my car. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a war zone? Whenever death randomly strikes any living thing, especially cherished innocent life, all of life can seem terribly fragile, unkind, unfair. Or as Calvin said to Hobbes when his rescued baby raccoon died, "It's either mean or it's arbitrary, and either way I've got the heebie-jeebies." I used to think, quite smugly, that if I created the world, I wouldn't have put death into the mix, at least not young or grisly death. But the givens of nature, the implacable axioms of change, impermanence, and mortality that make life feel so precarious, they're the necessary, essential requisites of life's good side, its capacity to surprise and delight us with joy, insight, tenderness, awe, and gratitude. Life is what it is. Mark Twain said, "I do not fear death." I had been dead for billions and billions of years before I was born and had not suffered the slightest inconvenience from it. Our congregation's atheists may share the views of mortality of self-described earthiest Edward Abbey, who said, "If my decomposing carcass helps nourish the roots of a juniper tree or the wings of a vulture, that is immortality enough for me." Too bad atheists can't also tell believers, "I told you so." Maybe death jokes aren't a proper meditation. But my meditations usually run pretty dark and deep, so I'm lightening things up a little bit today. I don't want everybody to say, "Oh God, not her again." So. Although I'm often anxious about the details of living, I'm very lucky to have little fear of death. Of course, I'd rather not be there when it happens. I don't fear hell either. Thanks to a simple kindness from my war-battered atheist father, Late one night, when I was a little girl, he found me weeping quietly and guiltily in my bed, brokenhearted, because my best fundamentalist girlfriend had helpfully explained to me how he, my sweet non-church-going dad, was going to burn in hell forever. Dad sighed. Then he asked me a few reasonable and important questions. Did I, Nancy, think that he, Dad, was a good man? Oh, yes, dear. Yes, Daddy, you are. Well, and is God good? Well, of course. So, would a good God send a good man to hell? At that moment, the scales fell from my eyes, the sun rose in the heaven, and I have never been afraid of either God or hell since. Thanks, Dad. By the way, although I'm not afraid of hell after Earth, I am frightened of ending up in hell while I'm still here. Our current elder care approaches simply do not protect vulnerable seniors from profiteers. Personally, I sometimes feel like the whole healthcare establishment is bent on preventing me from dying a quick, quiet, cheap, tolerable, and natural death. My current notion is to die young, as late as possible. Until then, I hope to live as Mark Twain suggested, so that when I die, even the undertaker will be sorry. The film critic Roger Ebert nicely summed up my views on death. I know it is coming, he said, and I do not fear it, because I believe there's nothing on the other side of death to fear. I was perfectly content before I was born, and I think of death as the same state. What I am grateful for, Ebert continues, is the gift of intelligence, and for life and love and wonder and laughter. You can't say it wasn't interesting. My lifetime's memories, they're what I've brought home from the trip. I will require them for eternity, no more than that little souvenir of the Eiffel Tower I brought home from Paris. So in the silence that follows, let's meditate on our lives' most precious souvenirs.